Welcome to Cattle HQ, a podcast from industry experts and progressive producers discussing cutting-edge info about the cow-calf sector to keep cattlemen and women in the know and positively affect their bottom line.
Welcome to Cattle HQ, headquarters for all things beef cattle. I'm your host today, Taylor Grusing, SDSU Extension Cow-Calf Field Specialist based in Mitchell. And today we're going to bring you some information on a tool that is available to possibly save some calves during the upcoming cold months. And to talk about this tool is Dr. Warren Rushi, our SDSU Extension Feedlot Specialist. So welcome back to the podcast, Warren.
Thanks, Taylor.
So I was searching the website the other day and ran into the South Dakota State Mesonet System, which is kind of the weather centers that are set up across the state. And also just a couple weeks ago, visited with Laura, our state climatologist, and, you know, just kind of mentioned on, you know, how these weather centers are available within probably 40, 50 miles to a lot of communities around the state. And it allows us to get pretty accurate weather information as well as like soil and moisture stuff. And one of the tools that's also available on there is something called the Livestock Stress Tool, which I learned you were a part of creating. So why don't you tell us first what that tool is on the Mesonet system?
Sure. So what it is, and I'll go kind of do the backstory of the why and the how and then explain it. This was kind of born out of some survey work we did about 7 years ago now, almost eight, on heat stress in feedlots. And what we did is we were surveying feedlot managers in South Dakota, Minnesota, and eastern Nebraska on, you know, what their approaches were to deal with heat stress. And one of the things we asked was, you know, regardless of what kind of strategies they might use, what was your trigger? Why, how did you decide when to implement that? And the most common answer was basically, well, it's hot today, so we must do something. And unfortunately, that usually means we're behind. And so the idea was if we could develop something like an early warning system or a tool where we could start, you know, do some forecasting things to let people buy themselves a little more time to plan and prepare. And so as part of that, Dr. Terry Mader, who's now retired from the University of Nebraska, but longtime, very well-respected beef researcher within their system, had spent a lot of his career dealing with heat and cold stress, things like, you know, mud, wind, just varying weather conditions related to feedlot cattle mostly, but not entirely. He had developed an index that he called it the Comprehensive Climate Index, or sometimes it's also called the Cattle Comfort Index, but the abbreviation CCI. And what that did is the math gets pretty involved, and I barely can follow it, but I could copy the formula. But it involved temperature, wind speed, whether the sun's out or not, some of those factors, and it boiled it down into, you know, just a single number. And what's really useful about that is then we can use that for both heat and cold. And so that turned into, and you know, the climate team already was collecting all the data. We had some money left on this grant to help cover some of the costs to incorporate it. And they programmed that model into their existing website and tool. And then we developed that. I want to think it was either in 2018 or 2019. Then over time, because then they were able to get the funding to put more Mesonet stations in. Now we've gone from, you know, a couple dozen across the state to, I'm not sure what the number is, but it's pretty sizable. So as you said earlier, yeah, if you're a livestock producer in South Dakota, doubtful you're more than 20 or 30 miles from one of these climate reporting stations.
The single digit index that you said, or to the number, sorry, not single digit, but index works for cold stress and heat stress.
Yes. And so, and that way, you know, you could just go to that site and it'll show you, you know, whether or not, we're going to be in some kind of issue from a stress standpoint, and we don't have to shift. You don't have to go to different websites. It's got it all reported. From a cold standpoint, it separates things out into both mature and newborn, because,
yep.
You know, as we pretty much everyone would pretty intuitive that, newborns are more susceptible to cold stress than mature animals. So, but what that does is then let us kind of be able to fine tune some things. And, if we were, dealing with, if someone is, calving season is going to be here or already is for some folks. So now that newborn stress index is going to be pretty important. For the people I would work with that are dealing with cattle in a feed yard, they might, we don't need to worry about the newborns, but then we'll look at what that adult index looks like and whether or not, to what extent we're in any kind of with heat or cold stress.
Okay. Yep. So since this is only an audio podcast, I want to walk through people quick through how to find it. So our Mesonet system, the website for that is climate.sdstate.edu. You can
That's
also
right.
find it at the bottom page of our extension.sdstate.edu website. Click on Mesonet and it'll take you to the home page. And from there, you can kind of see, like we were talking about, all the stations around the whole state. But if you go to the top right bar of the tools tab and then click on livestock stress, and that'll get you to another station that you have to select for the stress tool.
That's right. Yeah. Once we get to that, livestock stress tool page, then you can start selecting, which station you're interested in. And so, for instance, I pulled that up and I'm looking at Highmore today, and can you know, there show it'll show about four or five different lines actually. One of them is the climate index for newborn. The next one down is the climate index for adult. And so at the time we're doing this, at 2:30 in the afternoon, right now we're in for adult, we're in just almost neutral to maybe mild, just a slight degree of mild cold stress. But for newborns, pretty obvious they're more susceptible today. Right now at this moment, we're in moderate cold stress. So, it's certainly, you wouldn't want to ignore a calf getting born outside right now because it's kind of boring. And then it also shows things like the wind chill and the airborne heat index, air temperature, and then the temperature humidity index, which plays a is an important factor when they're dealing with heat. One other thing we hadn't talked about yet is a feature on our page that isn't on other states' versions, because there's other places that had the report Mesonet data. In fact, they were there before we were. I think Oklahoma and maybe Kansas, and there's probably some others. But one of the things that we wanted to incorporate was a forecasting element. So if you were to look at, and it's up to about 48 to 72 hours. So it's not going to give you, several days in advance, but it's going to give you some idea going forward. If you were to look at, like I mentioned, that the Highmore station, if I look out a little ways, in a couple days, we're going to be flirting with that, extreme cold stress category. So, in it, which makes sense. It's January, and in the middle of the night, we're going to have, some cold stress issues. But what that does under, more severe, we're starting to make some transitions. It's going to allow us to look ahead and see just how cl what our risk factor might be.
Right. Yes, because also, like you're saying, in the mild, moderate, severe, extreme, those will transition from, like right now, we're looking at cold stress. It doesn't necessarily say cold stress. Like you said, it's the climate index. So then in the summertime, that'll transition, obviously, to higher degrees Fahrenheit and then have a different extreme danger zone. Are those kind of, the same, like 10 degree differences, or does that get a little bit bigger when we go into heat stress?
I would have to take a quick look here at, basically, yes, I pulled that up. So for instance, for adults, extreme, and they're scaled on a Fahrenheit scale, but for, no adults, we'd consider anything from about 33 to 76 degrees is kind of neutral. And then from there, it starts. That next mild cold stress category for adults is 14 to 32. Moderate would be, negative 4 to about 13. And then it roughly every 15 degrees or so as it gets colder. As
Okay.
we go warmer, then those breaks seem to be at about, 8 to 10. And it's not purely temperature. It's on a temperature scale, but there's more that goes into it, as we kind of mentioned earlier, that, for instance, if we're thinking about cold stress, if if the wind's blowing, or it's completely clouded over, because we know that, we know it just intuitively when it's cold but the sun's shining, it doesn't feel as bad as if it's cold and windy and it's clouded over. This tries to put a number to that. And that number is based on observed performance and, an animal health kind of outcomes that Dr. Mader and had, their data sets were reporting. That's where he based, his risk categories.
Then is there an archive of past extreme weather events on this, or how do you find that? I know we mentioned, or it's listed on here, and I think we talked about it last week, was that FSA Livestock Indemnity Program does use this guidance, or same like weather tracking index, if there's any kind of extreme weather event that you might need to claim something on. So it's a good idea to, like I said, it gives you a little bit of history, so about 2 days historical and then 2 days out. So it gives you about a 5 day range. Let's say if you, like you said, you're calving. Not that we can delay calving by any means, but you know how much extra bedding to put down on the weekend to prepare you, to get those calves through the week on some, deep bedded land. And then on the other side of the spectrum, if you have cattle to work, like in the feedlot or backgrounded calves, you might be able to use this as a little bit better gauge rather than just, like you said, actual temperature, but wind chill or humidity index to determine when's going to be the better day to do something like that.
Or what, and I know, for instance, I know our research manager Beersford uses us a lot during the summer to start targeting, thinking about feed deliveries. Because one of the things we know that works is if we know we got a heat wave event coming, if we're certainly probably don't want to, we don't want to be bumping cattle up in the face of that. And we might even be thinking about, maybe just a half a pound or so, pulling them back just a little bit, especially if we think we're at up near the top anyway. And on the for the winter stress, as you mentioned, we could start looking, maybe 48 hours out and start thinking, well, all right, do we need some bedding? For instance, I pulled up new underwood just for fun, and I came up with, as you get out on the 14th, it was going to get in for newborns, it was going to be in the extreme danger category, and flirting with severe for adult cattle. So Western South Dakota, they're going to have some cold stress later, as we get farther into this particular week. This tool gives us a bit of a heads up. In terms of station history, other than the couple days they show, I'm sure we could get that. It might just mean, talking to some of the people on the mezzanine team about pulling up some of the historical data. And nice part is, we could all of that could be plugged in if we need to, but you'd have to make a special request to get some of the archive data.
Yeah, 'cause if you do go to the other archives or the tools in terms of like soil temp and livestock degree days, I think those go back out a little bit farther, or just ag weather in general. You can kind of get a graph of all 2025. So those things can probably be pieced together really easily if you need to. In terms of like some practical tips for producers to use, like you mentioned on the heat stress side, maybe pulling back some feed deliveries. What about in the winter for feedlot cattle?
So in the winter, if I knew we were going to be, dealing with some significant cold stress, I might think about perhaps just increasing just a little bit of roughage, because one of the things that happens with the variable weather in the winter, and we've seen that anecdotally, I'm hearing that from cattle feeders this year, is when it's cold in the winter, wind's blowing, calves, they're not that different from us. They're gonna huddle up by the windbreak and back on the bedding and just stay there. Which is fine from their standpoint of staying comfortable and staying warm, but that sometimes means maybe they didn't eat for a while and now, oh, now we're hungry and they overdo it, especially if we're feeding them a little bit higher energy diet. So to give myself a little margin for safety, I might think about adding a couple points of roughage or delaying the next bump, just to make sure that I'm not compounding a problem that, that the weather's creating and causing erratic feed intake. I don't want to make that worse by changing rations up too much. That would be one way that might get used. Some others are just, just some workflow planning things. If we know we've got a cold event coming, that's a good sign that maybe I need to get some bedding supplies up closer. Maybe there's some things I need, I could either delay or accelerate. For instance, if we're scheduled to implant some cattle, maybe I'm gonna wait for a little nicer day, or maybe I rearrange the schedule and get it done now because it's gonna get nasty soon. I think from a planning tool standpoint, that's where these tools really have their fit, is to help people plan out and manage risk just a little better.
Say on the cow-calf side, they're probably already getting quite a bit of roughage, so it's not necessarily going to be a bump of that. But if it is going to be in that extreme cold temperature range, we have talked about boosting the energy intake a little bit. So if they're going to be below a lower critical temperature, with a winter hair coat is, I believe, around like 0 degrees Fahrenheit. And
Sounds
so
about
if
right.
it's like a wind chill of negative 10, for every degree difference in temperature below that lower critical temperature, you could supplement like 1% extra energy. So maybe that's a couple extra pounds of corn on a cow ration, when they're maybe only getting 5%, 10% anyways, it'll help them through that.
Or, it depends too on how long it is. If it's just a short couple days, I don't worry about that too much because, she may, technically speaking, be in negative energy balance, but she'll snap right back as soon as the weather turns. But if we know we've had an extended period, that will maybe then we start making some of those adjustments. I think too, it depends on, for instance, if we knew we had a group of cows that's getting closer, we could look at a model like this saying, yeah, we're going to be under some pretty significant cold stress. Then that's a signal that I need to bring cows up closer to the yard, where we can, provide some shelter more easily. I think for both, whether we're dealing with, South Dakota beef producers are no stranger to either one. And the fact that we've got, a little bit, the greater advance notice, I think the better decisions.
Yeah, and as we're nearing calving for a lot of our producers, we think that this tool, like I said, could be handy. Obviously, watching your local weather is just as easy, but if it is something where you run into an event and have some kind of a loss, this might be a tool that you can visit with your FSA folks about on how to document what the temperature was in your neck of the woods.
And even, even if we do, I mean, I in our household growing up, and it's continued, as adulthood, we have a favorite station we watch, and to see what's going on with the weather. But they have to do their programming for the whole state, and sometimes that means, maybe they spend a little more time and attention to one of the population centers. I think what's really cool about this tool is, depending on where you're at, you could be awfully close to one of these stations, and now your weather becomes a little more localized. We know how variable things can be just within a few miles, and this tool doesn't completely solve that, but it does start, reducing some of it. So I'm not making management decisions based on what a news station in Sioux Falls is telling me. I can start making decisions based on the weather net station that is within maybe 20 miles. Should be more accurate, should be more useful, we would hope.
And I've heard of producers using it as well if they run cattle an hour away, let's say, and they want to see how much precipitation has been received over there, whether it's in the form of snow or rain. These weather stations have a heated rain gauge on them, so it collects that. And so if you, especially it's easy in the rain to say, oh, they already got a half inch of rain today, I'm probably not going to be able to get down that section line. Or, on the
Yep.
other side of it, yeah, they've already had 2, 3 inches of snow, might be time to reschedule that work day. So just some practical applications there.
where it's like, oh, we need to bring cattle home. It's a little worse than we thought. And
Yes.
I used to use a version of, some weather tools kind of like this for planning workload. If we needed to go to a particular place to process some cattle, sometimes handy to figure out just how much rain did they get and can I get the truck down that road? So yeah, you bring up a great point, Taylor.
Yes. Yeah, so I think that's all I have on that tool. Do you have anything else to add, Warren?
Oh, not off the top of my head. Other than we're going to be talking about water on the 22nd. Pete Bauman and I are doing that kind of a team approach. I'm going to talk about water needs from the standpoint of animal nutrition and thinking about confined livestock. Pete's going to talk about then systems involving pasture or grazing and how do we come up with ways to provide water to cattle under those kind of management systems. So we're looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a great chance to visit about water. It's a nutrient we don't always think about. We just assume it's going to be there and be there in abundance. And until it isn't, then it tends to get ignored.
Right. Yes. So what you're referencing is for any new listeners out there is we do have a Cattle HQ Live series that kind of pairs with this podcast, but it's a separate registration. So if you go to the extension.sd state website, on the events tab, there'll be a one monthly webinar. I think it's on the third Thursday of the month, roughly. But like you said, January 22nd, they're going to be talking about winter water systems. And 1 hour webinar, if you register for it one time, it'll send you the links for the entire yearly calendar event. And so that way you remember to log on and join live. If you're not able to join live, they are recorded as well. So you can hop back onto the YouTube channel and rewatch those at any time. But yeah, we do know it's even, kind of dry certain parts of the states. I guess I haven't looked at the drought monitor recently, but we're pretty brown here. The snow that we had melted, and the weather has just been crazy. And I mean, obviously we just talked about feeding cattle, and 1 week it's 50s in January, and the next week it's the negative 10s that we're used to possibly having. But the water is, the number one nutrient that animals consume, right? So we need to keep those open, and there's some creative systems out there, I think. So don't be afraid to think out of the box and maybe hop onto that webinar event. Some other things we have going on are some calving camps across the state. If you're interested in learning about those, you can visit the website as well. And then we have some producer stakeholder sessions going on campus, I think in February as well, where you might be able to learn about some alternative feedstuffs and even visit the SDSU meat lab, right?
That's right. Yeah, we've got that program. We've got a program coming up on February 19th that will do just that. Tour the meat lab. We'll talk about some growing and finishing cattle work, and of course, what you and your co-workers on the cow calf side are doing with the calving camps. I think, especially in a year like this, is really important. We've never seen calf values like this, and
Yeah.
so anything we can do that saves calves, it's a that would be time and that would be time very well spent. Even if it just help if it just helps us save one, that's a an incredible payback. So I'd encourage if you're owning some cows, even if you have been calving cows, some of us have calved out a lot of them, but there's always something to new to learn, or maybe a new approach to handle a problem you've seen before. I don't think any of us if anything, if you raise livestock, that's a guaranteed way to keep a person humble. And so with that, I think there's always opportunities to maybe pick something up that new or a different way to solve problems.
Right. Yeah. So with that, you can find Warren's contact information, my contact information on the SDSU website. Don't be afraid to call us, email us if you have a program idea that you'd like us to try to do. That's kind of how some of these events come to be. So we would love to hear from you, whether it's an email or follow us and continue listening this year. We'll have lots of more events and episodes coming. So with that, this has been Cattle HQ, headquarters for all things beef cattle. Until next time, eat beef.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Cattle HQ, brought to you by SDSU Extension, headquarters for all things beef. We invite you to visit extension.sdstate.edu for the latest beef information, as well as subscribe to the show on Spotify. You will also find show notes and resources from today's episode. Until next time, remember, success is not a goal, it's a byproduct.